Eric Erlandson from the Tampa Tribune joins us. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. What's going on?
Well, lots is happening, man. A lot of people surprised by the outcome of this series thus far. And I don't know if it's gamesmanship or some frustration. You know, Tampa Bay talking about how, you know, Detroit's interfering too much. You've watched all the games live. What do you think?
Oh, they get away with it. There's no doubt about it. But they're not the only team. Look, obviously it's focusing on this one because it's come to the forefront a little bit. And, you know, it was interesting to listen to one of the questions asked yesterday. I guess a lot of coaches will actually come through here and say Detroit leads the league and interference that they're allowed to get away with. So, you know, it's a little bit of gamesmanship, I think, on John Cooper's part to answer that question the way he did when it was presented to him yesterday, trying to deflect some of the pressure off his team. But at the same time, it was also a message to his team. Look, we can talk about it. We can mention it. Some might even say they're whining about it. But at the end of the day, Lightning have to find a way to fight through it. And to this point in the series, especially the last three games, they've shown no way of getting through whatever Detroit is putting in front of them. They cannot get through the neutral zone, and it's completely taken them out of their game.
Is that the biggest struggle for Stamkos?
It's the whole team. It's not just Stamkos. It's the whole team. They're all struggling. You know, this was the highest scoring team in the league. Obviously, Stamkos is the focal point of it. He's the guy who's supposed to score goals. He hasn't done that yet in this series.
Mm-hmm.
But Detroit has taken away the whole team. This team, this Lightning team, is deep. They are deep up front. Any of their four lines can score goals. I mean, Brian Boyle had 15 goals, the fourth line center. They can score. And Detroit has pretty much taken every one of them out of the game. And to me, that's a schematic thing. That's not necessary players struggling, which obviously they are. They can't score goals. But to me, whatever scheme Mike Babcock has put together since games one and two has worked to absolute perfection, because he has absolutely slowed down this Tampa attack like no team has been able to do during the regular season.
Well, Eric, there's a reason Babcock's considered one of the best coaches in the world. A lot of people, you know, high on John Cooper. You know, he's obviously going to have to try to counter that. I know Tampa's a possession team that, you know, they love to have it. They're a great skating team through the neutral zone. They're going to have to force, I guess, to see if they can dump and chase now.
They can't do that either. That's the whole problem. They have not been able to break out of their own end. They have not been able to, you know, use their transition game from the neutral zone. And then when they try and carry it in, obviously Detroit will stack the blue line and give them no space in. But even when they've tried to dump and chase, they can't go recover it enough. They can't establish a forecheck. You know, Detroit's sort of keeping that one defenseman back to kind of pick off those dump and chase attempts, and all of a sudden they're going the other way. So Tampa has to adjust in some way. They have to find a way to, you know, hold on to the puck as much as they can and just put forth some sort of an attack. We have not seen a consistent attack from this team really since they scored five goals in game one, but it was a lot closer. But in game one, they had the puck the whole game. They had Detroit chasing them the whole game. The shots were 46-14 in that game, and the Lightning are obviously going to look back at that game and say, geez, that's going to kill us. If they don't win this series, they're going to look at that game and say, geez, we had to win that one. But ever since then, they've had no sustained attack. And again, that's as much credit to Detroit as it is a discredit to Tampa Bay not adjusting to whatever adjustments Detroit has made.
Eric Erlandson from the Tampa Tribune joins us. Tampa Bay down 3-2 in the series going into Detroit tonight. So, you know, the schematics are one thing. You know, Mike Babcock said, you know, to the complaints, well, you got to work through it. You got to work harder. Have you seen, you know, has frustration taken over for work ethic at times? Do you think Tampa Bay's got to dig deeper?
I don't think it's a work ethic thing. I think this team is working hard. They just can't figure it out. That's the problem. You know, and certainly there's got to be some frustration in there, especially, you know, as we mentioned, some of the interference that the Red Wings are able to take advantage of to be able to slow them down. So it's frustration. I don't think it's work ethic. I think they are working hard. I've seen it. You can see it in games. It's not like they've stopped skating. It's not like they've stopped trying to fight through. They just haven't been able to break through.
Any lineup changes?
It was hard to tell. Based on what the rushes were taking place this morning, it looks like the same lineup. But Nikita Nesterov told me he's in on D. So my guess, and it's just sort of an educated guess here, if he goes back to the 7D, 11 forward alignment that he utilized in game four to help double shift some of those forwards and maybe get away from some of the matchups that Mike Babcock has been able to control. And so we won't know till game time, but I think there will be at least one lineup change.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about that format, going with the 11-7. It's just to get his top guys more ice time. Like Stamkos, Stamkos has only played under 18 minutes a game so far in the playoffs, Eric. I understand, matchups and everything, but don't you want your most dynamic guy on the ice more in key times? Like, he's playing a full minute and a half less per game in the playoffs than he did in the regular season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if that through average ice time?
Yeah, per game, yeah.
All right, well, let's keep into a point. There was one game, I believe it was game two, where he actually sat in the penalty box for 9 minutes. He took a matching minor, and there was no whistle for 9 minutes. So that's going to skew that a little bit. But I don't know how many times he's been at the 20-minute mark, and this is a guy that usually plays 20 minutes during the regular season. So maybe it's close to a minute less per game that he's played in the postseason compared to the regular season. I would want to play him more. I mean, he's a difference maker. He's a game changer. Anytime he gets the puck on a stick, he can change the outcome of the game. So I would certainly want him out on the ice as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm looking at the actual per game. In the first game, he did play 20 minutes, but then the second game you mentioned, he played 15, then 16, 47, 18, 53, and only 19. So in four of the five games, he's still below what his average was in the regular season. And that's where I wonder, sometimes a coach can outthink himself by trying to avoid matchups. Like Stamkos should be good enough to look at Detroit's defense and say he should be able to score regardless of who he's on the ice against.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. He's a top-line center for a reason. Maybe John Cooper doesn't trust him as much, which I can't think that's the case. But, it does certainly make you scratch your head on maybe why he's not playing 20 minutes like we all think he should be.
And the power play now, obviously in the postseason, the numbers can get skewed very quickly because it's such a small sample size. They've got two power play goals through the first five games. One of them, of course, Tyler Johnson, who has been very good. Now, Tampa was kind of a middle-of-the-road team. I think they're 14th or 15th in the regular season. But has their power play looked ineffective, or has it looked good and just doesn't score?
Honestly, it's looked to me the same way it's been throughout the entire regular season, and that's inconsistent. It's funny to think that they did lead the league in goals, and they were, I don't know, they finished 17th in power play. Actually, they were even worse on the road. So they haven't had to rely on that. You look at it, you'd think that teams that are good 5-on-5, as the Lightning were during the regular season, tend to have a little bit more success in the playoffs, but that hasn't been the case. Obviously, the power play is going to get looked at here because of their struggles to score goals. And I think back to, I believe it was game three, they had the 56-second 5-on-3 and failed to score. That's a key moment in this series. That's a huge moment in this series. At times it's looked okay, but other times it's looked just as stagnant as it has through various times in the regular season.
Eric, is Tampa going to come back and win two straight in this series?
You know what? They have a lot of character in that room. They have guys who have come back in series before. Anton Stroman and Brian Boyle did it with the Rangers last year against the Penguins. They have Braden Coburn and Matt Carl, who were on that Philadelphia team in 2010. They came back from 3-0 against the Bruins. Even Stamkos and Victor Hedman were on the 2011 Tampa team that came back from down 3-1 against Pittsburgh. So they have the experience in these situations. They have the character to come through in these situations. They've been a very resilient team throughout the entire year. They have not lost more than two games in a row all season. But based on what I've watched in games 3, 4, and 5, I don't know if they have enough to win another game in the series, let alone trying to have to pick up two. It just the attack is not the same. It just doesn't feel the same.
Should be an interesting one tonight to watch, Eric. And let's say Tampa doesn't win this series. Obviously, I don't see John Cooper going anywhere. But what do you think they would? Is there anything that lineup as good as they were all year long? Do you think there's something that this playoff series has shown they lack?
Not really. You know what? The one thing, and I've said this all year, just going back to the power play, they don't have a quarterback to run the power play. They don't have anybody to run the point on. That's the one area where I think that they should have looked for it at the trade deadline. They go out and get Braden Coburn. I think he's been really good in this series, considering he missed 5 weeks with a foot injury. But they don't have anybody to run the point, you know. Val Filppula kind of runs the point on the one power play, but he does it off the half wall. They need somebody to, you know, make the plays on the blue line. They need somebody in those situations to feed Steven Stamkos the puck on a good pass on the power play. That's the one area I think that they lacked throughout the entire season, and it's unfortunately it's come back to kind of show again here in the postseason. So not a whole lot of unrestricted guys on this roster. There's a couple here and there, but for the most part, everybody's under contract or is restricted free agent. So I don't know how many changes Steve Yzerman could make, especially with the cap pretty much staying stagnant. They were already a cap team, so there's not a whole lot of room for him to work with.
Eric, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the games.
All right, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.